That's the great Pharoah Sanders. Everybody knows that sound. He's on tenor sax, of course, with Equinox. It's from his acclaimed 1987 album, Oh Lord, Let Me Do No Wrong. This is Lead Stories. I'm your Trice Lead. That's a prayer I think we all need to adopt, and especially you-know-who. The guy in the White House. Oh, Lord, let me do no wrong. If only it could actually come true. Well, we start off with a reminder that Sunday, March 11th, this coming Sunday at 1:30 p.m., I'll be at the Community Church of New York, 40 East 35th Street, off of Park Avenue. I'm going to be giving a talk there. But the secret mission really is for us to get together and have one great big group hug. Because for all the years that I've been doing this, we really haven't had a chance to just meet, you know, just say hello and put the face to the name or the name to the face. So we're going to try and get some of that work done this coming Sunday. I do look forward to seeing you there. Ah, what can I talk about that won't surprise you? Even by his own admission, President Donald Trump thrives on conflict and chaos. You may recall that the first thing I said about him, he's a guy who just loves chaos. I used to call him, if you recall, President Chaos. He'd like us to believe that it's the secret behind his genius. You know, he'll be the big overlord supervising all things White House. And he will engineer the environment so that you'll have people fighting and competing with each other and going at each other, because this process is supposed to bring about the best ideas when people are fighting. This is a Trumpian theory. So he believes it to be the key to his genius. If it is the key, something's wrong with the key, because as we can see, people are leaving this administration in droves. In fact, he's just into his first year, really, and he's already broken the record for the number of people who have just gotten so fed up and disgusted that they've taken off. And we had one announcement yesterday. We'll get to that. But this is the mind of Trump, the warped, illogical mind of Trump when he's in his own world. And he sees the world working according to his plan. And he's quite content with the way things are going. So it isn't that there's something that he's responsible for doing. It is that people just don't have what it takes to put up with his genius, you see. And so they self-destruct by design, because they just can't deal with his genius. But Trump, of course, is no genius. And practically every aspect of his life is a moment-to-moment battle to stay on top. This is the other part that we are not giving much attention to. It is not easy being Donald Trump, because he's so far gone. His mind is always trying to figure out what next to do, so that he can keep people occupied and fighting and whatnot and quarreling with each other. And so he has a wide open field to do whatever it is he thinks he needs to do to keep people occupied with what, in effect, is nonsense. But of course, many people who come, and I'm just making this general statement, it happens to be true of any president. You win the election, you bring on your people. Or you bring on the people who, in your view, will help you reach that ever elusive goalpost about what it is you want to accomplish. You seek them out. And in some cases, of course, they are brought to you. It's been the case for the last several presidents that their political help has come from people with vested interests in guiding an administration the way they want it to go. And the appointment of their people largely is a payback because these people come out of very intricate systems. And we are only allowed to appreciate the fact of their individual knowledge and accomplishment. But in fact, they come from constituencies that have vested interests in them being part of any administration. It's the case for Democratic administrations. It certainly is the case with Republican administrations. But there is something particularly unique about the Trump administration, and that is that he's not wrapped too tight. He has managed to carry on the con that he is a very brilliant guy. And you know, in our society, people tend to kind of back away from people who are very brilliant because it is a matter that we just don't understand them. We haven't yet attained that level of understanding of their facile minds. We can't see what they see because they're so far ahead of us. So we, in a sense, we get ourselves into a situation where we know intuitively that things are very wrong, and they will probably become worse. But we can't bring ourselves to openly being critical for fear that we just missed the brilliance, the natural brilliance of the person. And possibly it is we are the ones who just don't get it. And this has been the case with Trump. He's been given a wide berth to do whatever it is his mind desires, despite the fact that he, like his children, like most of the people who have come into his administration, have zero qualifications for making this level of decisions. They have no basis to claim leadership of any kind. So the assumption would be that a president like Trump is not, he's not 100% stupid, he's significantly so. But we have to give him credit and give him the room to blossom, you see, because he is a brilliant guy. We just don't know it and we haven't been able to appreciate it, but he appreciates how brilliant he is. But there's an increasingly yawning gap between his version of brilliance and what people are looking for as results. You know, they're not matching up. He's been given enough time and enough space to dazzle us with his brilliance, coming up with unique and just innovative solutions to the myriad problems that we are experiencing as a nation. And each time, he falls flat. He falls far short. And it is because even he, as brilliant as he is, doesn't have a good reading about his helpers. Look at the way he has just attacked so viciously the U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions. Whatever people want to think about Sessions, the fact is, this president actively sought him out and agreed that he was a perfect fit in his administration. A couple of weeks didn't pass before Trump was openly attacking the man, basically saying what a moron he is. He doesn't know what he's doing. And he's saying this openly. In many ways, what he's saying is defamatory, really. Sessions was invited into his administration. And here's Trump tearing him up, calling him essentially a moron who doesn't know what he's doing. So now, in a scenario like that, what else could the people think except that it isn't Sessions who's the problem? Sessions could have been, you know, minding his own business and going fishing every Sunday, for all we know. But you, Mr. President, you brought him in, and you represented that this was the best candidate for the job. And before, you know, before any amount of time would pass to get the man settled in his position, you crank up the hate machine. You start cutting him up and cutting him down. And people are supposed to think that you're right in your head. Now, this may be just an expression of how Trump has developed as a person, as an individual. His mindset is so bizarre, it defies logic that people could spend so many years of their lives just living in this space and making it appear that these are perfectly normal actions. We just don't get his brilliance. We just fall so far short because we've never even been close to that achieving for ourselves, that level of brilliance. How could we understand the brilliance of the man? Well, you might know, of course, because it's been covered in the news, that in this past week, we've had quite a few people saying adios, goodbye. Even for them, this administration is crazy. And one such person is Gary Cohn, who was, I'll say, because he's already made it clear that he's gone. He was Trump's top economic advisor, coming out of Wall Street, a man who is credited with having a base of knowledge about how Wall Street works and therefore how economic systems work. And one would assume Trump saw perfect compatibility here, because after all, the biggest promise he has made is revitalizing the economy and making America great again. Well, here's your guy. You brought him on. You made him the top economic advisor. And what do you know? He can't stay either. So is it that there's so much wrong, not with Trump, but the individuals Trump has attracted to his administration in these various capacities? Or do we see reason to believe, and we must revisit the question, is this president right in his head? And can he be trusted to actually lead a nation, any nation? We saw that earlier on in the week in a business venture that he partnered into in Panama, establishing Trump International, a hotel in Panama. His business partners had been fighting for quite some time to get rid of him, to essentially go it alone, because they partnered with Trump because they fell for the brilliance, the brilliance routine, only to find out that he's killing the business. He doesn't know what he's doing. And his partner went to court umpteen times, petitioning the court to allow him and others who are partners in this venture to kick Trump out. He said Trump was bad for business. His reputation discouraged people from looking favorably at buying any of the Trump properties, and it was literally killing their business. And if the business were to survive, it meant that Trump had to go. So the big picture on in most newspapers and so forth is the poor guy whose task it was to remove the name of Trump in the front of the building. So people know certain truths about Donald Trump. Psychologically, they know, they have reason to know, because they have been dealing with this man on a one-on-one basis. And others, as the psychiatrists that we have discussed here, and their position is that there's reason to believe that he's not in his right mind, and he's causing irreparable damage wherever he goes. And now it's one thing when he's behaving this way as citizen Trump. Now he is the so-called ruler of the free world and making a mess of it. So the fact that people are leaving in droves before there is even an accomplishment of a few goals. They're just leaving. They cannot deal with him, and they cannot deal with how he is using this position, not in the broad sense to achieve broad goals. But very often, as you see, the president's actions are linked to the family's fortunes. How has Trump impressed the world so far? Well, this genius of his that people think that he's blessed with a genius that mere mortals like us simply can't comprehend, can't understand it. But a year and 45 days in office, we have seen more people who have credentials in specific fields, who were invited in, who were, for whatever reason, they ended up in the Trump administration and they had to go. But you're also seeing a very disturbing pattern. They too started behaving like Trump. And it's natural, right? thieves tend to feel more comfortable in the company of other thieves. You know, there's a certain unspoken camaraderie. This administration has popularized the notion of people benefiting, not because they are really working for it, for the rewards, but they are part of a corrupt system of, you have his children immediately. You have a group of people, a large group of people. They're there only because he knows them or they're related to him. They have no possible legitimate reason for having the jobs that they have, except that Trump feels better with them around. Now, we're talking here about the future of a country at a critical time in world history. All kinds of craziness is happening, and you need your best point people to be on top of these things, to give you a leg up because they have specialized information and specialized skills, and they can guide you, but you're not interested in their advice. So they don't have an opportunity to give it. When they give you advice, you dismiss it and them as being stupid, even though you yourself don't know what the heck it is that you're doing. It should bother the nation that Jared Kushner is given a very broad and impressive portfolio. He is, in effect, a kind of Secretary of State on his own accord. He's doing his own thing with zero experience. Or Ivanka, Trump's daughter, who has a job nobody has been able to describe exactly what it is, but she's flying around the world and she has a portfolio of some sort, which we don't know the specifics of. But because she is Trump's daughter, he considers her absolutely qualified. So the White House quickly was transformed into this cesspool of people who all want one thing, and that's why they're there. They want and they intend to use the opportunity, the access to power to absolutely enrich themselves. And Trump shares that vision. You have a guy like Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, the former brain surgeon, and the best match, according to the thinking of Donald Trump, the best place to put him is not in charge of health and human services, but to put him in charge of housing. And so far, he has not been able to even write a mission statement for his agency. And this is a brilliant man. It's also a deliberate misuse of talent. The fact that, you know, we see people hanging on because, I mean, the salaries are good and you do have a nice little entry in your resume that indicates that you are a very important person in the presidential administration. But you can't do diddly in the environment in which you're placed. You have no authority. And at any moment, this president, because he is mentally ill, he does have some serious trouble. I agree with the assessment in the psychiatric world that Donald Trump is in very delicate mental condition, and as such poses a threat to the security of the country. But we are in the white supremacist society of the United States, and here too we see the impact of it. It is not to be accepted. It is just not to be accepted that the president possibly has a problem. It is, in fact, the rewriting of the whole narrative. He is a genius that we don't understand. And we need to give him room to be the genius that we just don't understand. He's unorthodox, and he's brash, and all of these other things, all these other characteristics, because, well, he's a genius. We don't yet, we haven't yet achieved that level in this world. We are still scrunting. But he has achieved the genius level, and he needs to be left alone. And so the entire nation is in the hands of somebody whose mental acuity should be questioned. And you see the evidence growing more and more before you that this country is on the brink of something disastrous. And even if it happens, it will be described as, well, you know, he gave it his best shot, but it's just that he didn't get the help he needed, because here is a God among mere mortals. And that was our fault. So you wonder, what is it, what has to happen for a quick revision of the way things are going? What has to happen? Does the country have to just bottom out? Does it have to reach a point of no return? It's like you wonder what is it that we have? What is the brain trust that we have in Washington? And it's spreading. This unreality is so quickly becoming our collective reality. You had 17 children, students, killed in Parkland 3 weeks ago. And the President of the United States puts forward his solution, which is to arm the teachers. And the collective reaction was, well, that's not a bad plan. You know, there was a, I used to watch Boardwalk Empire. I thought it was a great series. And there was one line, oh, I forgot who the character was, but he was in the process of taking over the gangster world. And they had this confrontation in the back roads of New Jersey. And everybody had guns. And he actually said, I got a gun, he's got a gun, everybody's got guns. Well, this is the president's solution. The solution to preventing mass murder in the school environment is to arm the teachers. And he actually followed through. He amplified that view by saying, if the teachers had guns, they would have blown away the attacker so fast his head would spin. And this is the level of discourse that our president is engaging in. This to him is a logical solution, and one that he actually began to push, arm the teachers. So we see people taking off from this administration. We were quiet when, you know, in the formation stage, all administrations go through a rough period trying to find a good fit. But in the interest of the bigger picture, which is the mission of this new administration, and it has never been more unclear what this administration's mission is. And what is the rationale for selecting people who shouldn't be there in the first place? And then you attack them, you insult them, you cut them up in public. This kind of behavior is just outrageous. And if anything, it should trigger so many alarms that he needs to be put into some kind of a therapeutic situation as quickly as possible, because we are all at the point of being harmed. Wall Street, I'm not a great fan, but it has had its mission for all these years. But when Gary Cohn, Trump's national economic advisor, decides that he's had it, it ceases to be just a personal difference of opinion. It now becomes the most glaring signal to that portion of the world that things are really bad and they're going to get really bad. Remember the warning that Charles Ortel had given us saying things are going to be pretty bad? Well, this intention of leaving, and it's very public, and he's leaving because the president is not listening, and the president believes that he is a one-man band, and he knows everything, and he's right about everything he knows. And this guy sees the writing on the wall. We're going to hell in a handbasket, being carried there by Trump. Make no mistake about it. When somebody of that stature, of Cohn's stature, takes off, it's saying, in effect, there's no hope here of even approaching a point of logic, of considered thought. This guy's winging it. He's dangerous. He's a loose cannon. And nobody seems to be able to rein him in. So America has stood by for more than a year now, a year and 45 days, watching an accident, a potentially fatal accident, occur in slow motion. And we're not able, it seems, to do anything about it. The party isn't able to do anything about it. And there are no really known individuals who at this point want to bear the responsibility of advising a president who is beyond advice. He has grossly mismatched talent and task. You don't need talent to perform very skilled tasks. He has been experiencing and the country has been experiencing a head spinning rate of senior level job abandonment. I'm not talking about the Omarosas of the world. I'm talking about people who, whatever the criticisms are, the fact is that they brought, or they thought they were going to be bringing, a certain level of expertise that would help the overall picture of setting the country on the right track. He is legendarily dishonest, a pathological liar. He prefers cronyism. In fact, that's the way he's operated, cronyism and nepotism, as opposed to really giving thought to the people who are supposed to guide the various sectors of his administration. And just for good measure, he is openly contemptuous of the poor and dedicated to retrograde racist American values. And absolutely, adamantly refusing to seek and then take good advice. So that's where we are. And the news organizations are telling us that, well, don't worry so much, because Trump, despite all these things, he's really a brilliant guy. We just don't understand him. And we should be patient and we should be supporting him, not criticizing him. And my contention is this is beyond him. We have a situation in which one individual literally can determine the immediate course of a country and much of the rest of the world. Do we shut up and just see where it goes? Or do we have a duty to voice our concerns and to begin what is clearly needed the process of finding an alternative to what we've got, because what we've got is just not working? And simply to say, well, he ran for president and he got elected, and constitutionally we have to respect that, I think we can come to an entirely different approach here. It is not that simple or simplistic. There's reason to believe that this president is unsuited for the job. And it is time that this country engage in a conversation about what's next. I'll take this break, come back to your thoughts at 888-874-4888 right after this. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and this is the time for you to contribute to this discussion. What are you thinking about the situation that we find ourselves in as a nation with regard to a president that is showing all the signs of a person descending into his own strange world, and thinking that, well, it's gee, I have the power, I have the authority, and there's not a thing you can do about it. Khalil from South Carolina, welcome.
Hi, Therese. How you doing today?
Okay, how's by you?
I'm great. I have to say, I enjoyed Boardwalk Empire. You made me smile when you talk about that. Because if you've ever been to Pleasantville, it's like, wow, this is kind of real.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm really agreeing exactly. So you've been very, very circumspect, very not judgmental about this whole what's going on with us right now. And, you know, at this point, people need to just look, you know, let go of your great, right hope, you know, mentality or what, for whatever reason you're supporting this guy. Because it is very clear at this point that we have a cadre of what McCarthy would have called spies back before I was born. You know, do you understand what I'm saying? Like, I have a list in my pocket, you know, that type of thing. I mean, we're way past that, you know.
What do you think needs to happen? What do you hope might happen before long?
Well, I will say this. If and this is complicated. The nice way to do it would just be everyone, you know, just vote straight Democratic, just a clean house. And if folks don't work out, that's why we have recall elections. You know, people don't do the right thing. Now, the other option is to wait. But then if we wait, something bad is going to happen, like you said, because this man is mentally unstable for probably a lot of reasons. He's got a lot of mental health issues. And it's not just one or two. It's a number of them. And he is willing to put this whole world in peril because of his ego. But this Republican Congress is not. See, the House, this has to initiate in the House. And this is really not about politics. This is about people's safety. And then we got these terrorists that they won't label as terrorists, these young terrorists going into schools. You know, and he can't even get on top of that because he has incompetent cabinet members. You know, if he had a competent,
so,
I'm sorry.
I mean, mm-hmm. I'm looking to you to give us an idea from your perspective. What do you think would be an effective response at this moment from us, the people?
Us, the people, at this point, we need to shame, no matter what your party affiliation, because, once again, this is beyond politics, okay? We need to shame the people who represent us into admitting the fact that this is a failed experiment with this person. And this is not just the person, but the people he's chosen, the whole thing. It's awful. It's awful. It's awful, but it's complicated because if you listen to a lot of folks that I'm around, that I, you know, in my area, they think that this president is going to go down as the best president in history. Where conscious folks see, but conscious folks know better. Conscious folks know that this is just careening out of control. He's going to bring us to war to try to deflect from what he's doing. This whole thing is unraveling.
It's a very serious situation that we're in, but we have to start thinking seriously about what the best response would be, not just to him, but what would the best response be with regard to our interests. That's the discussion. He's already decided what he's going to do and who he's going to be. It is we are the ones standing by motionless, watching all of this happen, and we know what we're facing. We know it. Thanks, Khalil, for getting us started today.
Thank
From
you.
Louisiana, Sasha, you're on the air.
Louisiana, from Los Angeles.
Oh, from Los Angeles. I'm sorry.
Yes. I just want to say thank you. I'm very grateful for your program, for everything I hear you say and the guests you bring on and your style. I've been a Pacifica listener to KPFK since 1987 when I discovered it, having missed the first 27 or 28 years of it in my life. But been listening during much of that time, as long as he was on the air until about 5-6 years ago. I was listening to Gary Knowles rebroadcasts on our late night show, Something's Happening. And been pretty much a staunch advocate of Pacifica Radio. And since about 6 months ago, when I started streaming PRN on a daily basis, listening to Gary Knoll and then listening to you right after his show, I'm a daily listener and I hate to miss it. And I'll go and listen to the archive if I happen to miss your live show. And today's the first time I've tried to call in, and I'm so glad that I got in as the second caller even. So I just wanted to say thank you much.
And thank you in return. Yeah. Thank you so much. So tell us what you're thinking.
Well, I tell you, my thinking is it's so important what you're doing and what Gary is doing and many of the other programs I listen to as well. I've kind of gotten very, not tired, but noticing some of the repetitious nature of the programming on the KPFK. And I really wish that they would carry your show as well as Gary's, or, you know, at least pick up his archives the way they used to. And I spend a considerable amount of time just like forwarding individual texts to people, not even on a mass list, just telling people, hey, check out these shows. It's just creates a necessary awareness that, and I send out emails to some lists, you know, a list of maybe a couple hundred people, just to occasionally let people know, you know, maybe once or twice a week sometimes, maybe two or three times a month, just to say, hey, listen to PRN.FM. There's so much food for thought here. And I just really appreciate how you spend most of the time letting your guests speak, and everything that you do say is very thoughtful. You don't like hog the air and, you know, ask a question and then step on the answer and, you know, yourself talk, which so many people do, and that is very tiring. I really appreciate it. It's really refreshing to hear your thoughtful, wise commentary and participation. So I don't mean to be gushing, but I just say I'm very glad that you're here, and I wish somebody else in KPFK land here would be hearing this show right now and go, yeah, I agree, and let's do something about that.
Well, I thank you for your thoughts, and I thank you for your good wishes, and I thank you for being on board with us.
Thank you.
So much.
And now, sorry, I won't do that if I ever get back on the air. I won't, like, take up the time just saying how much I'm a fan, but I do want to respond to this issue. What the topic that we're talking about is in this whole conundrum that we're in with this Trump character. I don't even like to say his name. I like to call him the Chumpster. And he, you know, there are many friends that I've had for years that I consider to be progressive activists. And there's a handful, but a significant number that kind of shocked me that they become totally like, oh, Trump is doing a great job. He's the most competent president we've ever had. I'm going, oh, my God, I can't believe you drank that. And, you know, they're like practical disciples of Alex Jones, and, you know, it's like they diss Pacifica for whatever reason they feel are the shortcomings of Pacifica.
I'm going, wait a minute, you know, I can't even have a conversation with these people unless I just want to completely write them off forever, like, you know, lose a friend kind of thing. But as far as I'm concerned with friends like that, I don't know what the great value is. But I send out, you know, links also to the two main impeachment sites, the one called Need to Impeach, which was started much more recently than the original one called ImpeachDonaldTrumpNow.org, which has barely half a 1.5 million signatures, and the Need to Impeach shot up to over 5 million in just the first 6 months or so. And I say, well, you know, it's not going to change everything just by signing on to that, but it's something to note that, you know, that does put some notice to, you know, puts the elected representatives and senators on notice that, hey, there's people in the population that are demanding that you consider going forward with a trial. So that being said, I'll let you have your show back. But
well, I thank you really for participating today and contributing. And just so that there are quite a few people in queue, so that you shouldn't worry if you don't get in today. We will continue tomorrow. There's no reason to panic. Your thoughts should be heard, and so we'll make room, as is necessary, for those who are in line to talk but probably wouldn't be able to do so today because of time. But let's take this fast call from Muhammad from Queens. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice. I sincerely wish that your health continued to improve. And I just want
to
say you're very welcome, and greetings to all the audience. I'm going to try to be very brief. Just to add to the mental condition of this young man who lives in Pennsylvania Avenue, as a psychotherapist analyst, you know, one thing I noticed about him, he deploys two defenses, one called projection and another called denial. These are infantile defenses. They're psychological. And when you deploy those defenses, you're not consciously aware of it. Now, those are infantile defenses. So it just gives us a clue as to where his problems in life may have begun. Those are not defenses that mature or even teenage people use, adolescents. These are infantile defenses. And that's all I have to say for today. I'm going to make a comment on the Speak Your Mind Friday about Trump and Netanyahu. Thank you very much for taking my call. Thank you,
Muhammad, for calling in. And that brings us to the end of our program today. Stay tuned. Coming up next, Ring of Fire Radio. And we see each other tomorrow. Bye-bye.